אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד 10.
We're reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, volume 1, part 3, chapter 13, item 5. You can ask questions at Kabla TV. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson.
Since in Histaklut, the more adhesive with the Shoresh is higher, for Keter, which is proximate to the Ayin, came out last, and Malchut came out first. When returning and striking, all the Kilim are equal. If Yesod had previously expanded more than Malchut, it would have been because of Malchut. Because of the light of over Malchut, Yesod had the strength to expand further, and there is no merit in it over Malchut. However, because this Hitpashtut is as Or Chozer, which returns and draws nearby to its origin, in the Kelim themselves they are equal. Again, item 5. Since in Histaklut the more adhesive with the Shoresh is higher, for Keter, which is proximate the Ayin, came out last, and Malchut came out first. When returning and striking, all the Kelim are equal. If Yesod had previously expanded more than Malchut, it would have been because of Malchut, though it is Yesod, for it expanded more. Because of the light over Malchut, Yesod had the strength to expand further, and there is no merit in it over Malchut. However, because this expansion is as Or Chozer, which returns and draws near to its origin, in the Kelim themselves they are equal.
There's Opnimi, so go ahead and read it.
Opnimi, item 1, relating to the words, the more adhesive with the root is higher. It means that in the ten sefirot of Or Chozer that emerge from the Zivug de'Aka'ah, called Histaklut, observation, the Malchut, which is the Peh, called Et, the, is the Shoresh, the root, for the ten sefirot of Or Chozer. Thus, the more it is adhesive with the Shoresh, meaning with Malchut in the Peh, the higher and more important it is. That is because it extends from her, and the Or Chozer comes out from below upward. Item Bet, item 2, relating to the words, Keter, which is proximate to the Ayin, came out last.
Why is it called Et? Because this is from letter Aleph to Taf. Because in Peh we make Zivug Deka over all the Kelim, and what happens in the Peh determines the whole structure of the Partsuf later on.
Item 2, relating to the words, Keter, which is proximate to the Ayin. Meaning in the ten sefirot of Or Yashar, Keter, which is proximate the Ayin, came out first, and it is the root of every ten sefirot of Or Yashar, and its level is regarded as the higher than all. However, it is the opposite in the ten sefirot of Or Chozer that emerged by the Histaklut in Malchut. Malchut in the Peh becomes the Shoresh, the root, for the ten sefirot of Or Chozer, and gives the light to all ten sefirot. Thus Yesod is the second in merit, Hod is third, etc., up to Keter, which is proximate the Ayin, receives last. He said Keter, which is proximate the Ayin, came out last. It means that it is the last to receive the expansion, the Hitpashtut of the Or Chozer from Malchut.
This is how the Masachim emerge from the stronger to the weaker. And this is the order of the Partsufim. I don't have much to say. If you have questions, then go ahead. We've been through it many times before. Is there something more?
Item 3, relating to the words, when returning and striking, all the Kelim are equal. It means that since the Keter is first in merit from the perspective of Or Yashar, Malchut is last in merit,
according to the strength of the Masach.
for she receives last and is the farthest from the root, the Shoresh. It is the opposite from the perspective of the Hitpashtut, the expansion of Ochuzer, namely Sfirat Malchut became the Shoresh and is the first in merit, and Keter last. It turns out that all the Kelim equalize into the exact same level by clothing the Or Yashar in Ochuzer. It is so because all that is better is in Ten Sfirot of Or Yashar is worse in Ten Sfirot of Or Chozer, and vice versa. All that is better in Ten Sfirot of Or Chozer is worse in the Ten Sfirot of Or Yashar. Thus all the Kelim become equal.
That's clear, right? So if it is Keter Dor Yashar, then Malchut Dor Chozer. If it is Chochma Dor Yashar, then Yisro Dor Chozer. So according to the Kelim themselves, if we're talking about the Kelim themselves, then the Kelim are opposite in their Aviyut and Zakut, and then they complete each other. So it turns out that all the Kelim become equal. Meaning, if there is Or Yashar and Or Chozer, so all in all, after the action, there is no difference in who made this action. No one here is any different from the other. Why? Because the more of youth he has, if he did his work according to his kli, then he's equal to the others. This is what we see here. Because all in all, it doesn't matter which sfira. Let's say Chochma Dor Yashar, then Yesod Dor Chozer, and Keter Dor Yashar Malchut Dor Chozer. So basically, everything equalizes. All in all, this is 10. In Aviyut and Zakut, coarseness and purity, they complete each other, and therefore they're all equal. In the spiritual work, there's no one who's different from the other. The purer one is, or the coarser another one is, in the general Kelim, they do the same work. More?
Item 4, relating to the words, if Yesod had previously expanded more. It means that all the Sefirot rose and expanded on an equal level up to Keter, proximate the Ayin, by the Or Chozer that came out of Malchut from below upward. However, it is so because of Malchut in the Peh. It is written that the more Yesod expands inwardly, meaning although it is more internal than Malchut, Malchut clothes it from without, from the outside. However, this is not regarded as merit because its entire Hitpashtut, its entire expansion up to Keter, is by the strength of Malchut. Thus, Malchut is its Shoresh, its root, and in this Hitpashtut, in this expansion of the degree and merit, it is written, because of the light over Malchut, Yesod had the strength to expand further. It means that the Or Chozer of Malchut made it expand its level more than its measure in the Ten Sfirot of Or Yashar. It is therefore not better than its Shoresh, its root, which is Malchut.
Meaning from the side of the Zakut purity, of course it's pure, but this purity didn't allow him to have a reflected light as should be, rather because Malchut is working on him, then together with it, he does reach a greater Aviyut, greater Masach, greater reflected light, and then thanks to it, he continues. This is how it is with each and every Sefirah, which is comprised with the rest of the Sefirot, then it reaches the same level as everyone else. So it turns out that in that case, if I'm integrated with the group, and they're great and everything, and I'm the smallest, and they're the greatest, and I'm the smallest, everyone who does his work, they're all equal. And it doesn't matter if they're great and if I'm small, if they're a veteran and know everything and I know nothing, I just join them. There's no difference inside a group because everyone who's integrated in the group, he receives from the others and he completes himself. He completes them with his purity, and he receives from them their strength of their corrected avyut, and therefore everyone are equal. They're missing his zakut, and he's missing their corrected avyut. So this is how everyone equalizes. So it's like a fetus who can be inside his mother's womb in a way that he even determines for the whole body of his mother all the processes that is now going through. So the small one compared to the grown-up is more important than the grown-up or the bigger. This is how it is, because the corrections, they are made from the easier to the heavier. And then if he has a greater avyut, then he determines towards the smaller avyut, which is like Bina compared to Malchut. So Malchut decides to Bina what needs to be done. Because according to the purpose of creation, the greater avyut always has a priority if it is in the process of correction. Therefore, every part of Malchut that joins Bina determines what Bina has to do, and she has to perform it. Okay? Yes? Soon you will be next to the door.
I just taught last night, so I didn't want to be too much at the front. Why, in any case, there are differences, if that's the way it appears, between the Sfirot or in general in the society, if we want to expand that. We see that when there is the purpose of creation and everything that comes to equal, in any case, there are differences and there are preferences, priorities.
That stems from four phases of direct light. It's impossible that the light that created the masach, excuse me, that the light that created the will to receive created it all at once. Existence and existence from absence. That's it. Immediately. Meaning immediately, instantaneously means between any actions in between. Without any actions in between. However, the Creator who wants to penetrate into this desire of existence from absence, his qualities, he has to do it gradually, because by doing so, he is building a process that the creature, on top of his will to receive, he will acquire the mind, the sensation, the understanding of from your actions we know you, who the Creator is. If the Creator has to perform an action not of give and take, rather besides of give and take, as there is in nature, in every cell, in every tree, in every living creature, receiving, giving, instinctively. But if I have to do it not instinctively, rather with understanding why, for what am I doing, who do I resemble, who do I reach, whom do I bestow upon? So my awareness has to be built in me gradually. So that I, out of these actions, will know you from your actions. From the actions, I understand the essence of the action and the essence of the one who operates me. And what am I doing? Because I do the actions like him. Who do I resemble to? Who do I come to? And how do I reach adhesion? So, the actions of receiving and bestowing can be created inside a creature in existence from absence. They can be created all at once. But if the creature has to go through this self-study, we know you from your actions, he has to know that it is not he who performs the actions, rather the actions are being performed on him. That requires from the creature a development of cause and effect. And as a cause and effect, cause and consequence, gradually through ascents and descents, then he realizes, then he understands from the process itself. And instead of the actions, he attains the wisdom behind the actions. Instead of the actions, he attains the one who performs the actions. And that characterizes, this is what distinguishes man from the still vegetative and animate. Not long ago, I saw a movie about those who research monkeys and apes, and they always have this question, whether do they have or don't have a human mind? And they still have this question. We understand it because the monkey, the ape, is immediate between the animate and the human beings. So it can be either way. So there is a reason why they're confused. But we can also understand from that that it is not a human being as they want to prove sometime. Because they don't have in their attainment a study of how to become a human being. Rather, they perform actions as human beings in order to attain the goals of a beast. So they learn from the actions, but they don't come to know you from their actions. When you perform actions in this world, man, when he performs actions in this world, he begins to attain the mind of nature. He opens up nature, and then he opens up the concealed nature, what we call Bore, creator, although that nature too is the creator. However, in something lesser than that, in a monkey, in an ape, which is instead of man, it means that he is prepared to perform actions of bestowal in order to enjoy for himself. This is still the anime degree, the ape degree. But if he performs actions of bestowal, when he performs them, well, he studies from the human being level how to do it. Not to receive directly, rather to perform such and such actions which are not related, rather they are gradual actions in order to attain the desirable. So man, as a result, he learns about the creation itself. So that's the difference. Okay, we won't get into it too much. But therefore, as you were asking, therefore the actions, they have to be gradual. Because by this, we acquire the ability to understand a higher degree and to rise to it. And an ape, he cannot do that. It remains immediate. It is still in between the animate and the speaking, but its actions, through its actions, when he is similar to human being, he is drawn below, back to the animate degree. And this unique ape that turns into a human being, turns into Adam, there in its actions, this is us. Not offending anyone. This is us. And through our actions, we want to rise up and we want to understand the Adam, the human being, the creator, to resemble him in being Adam.
Now, when he says here that every sphera that makes a correction of all Chozerim, that it resembles the other one, where does this principle come into expression with us?
Again?
Now we spoke about that in which every sphera that raises all Chazer, it equalizes. Now, there is no resemblance between Keter and Malchut, but it does that.
But we don't have any actions where we connect together the Avyut and Zakut. So how can you see that they're all equal? What do you mean they're all equal? Make a connection inside a society, a mutual connection where everyone complements the other and we're all together towards one goal, like the Sefirot inside the Partsuf, then you will see that you will have the same thing. If you can't do without anyone else, rather you need to have 10 friends, they're all necessary. Without them, you won't have a patsuf. And everyone brings his own unique quality, his zakut and avyut. And this is how they all complement each other. Then they're all equal. The coarser everyone is, the purer he is in the opposite way. What's not clear here? Yes?
Eitan from Gnei Tekva. According to the questions asked during the lesson,
that everyone learns according to his way in his unique level. So how do we learn together? It doesn't matter. Of course, everyone studies, like all the Partsufim are not equal. The faces are not equal. Their opinions are not equal. But when they're working together, then they participate in one desire and one thought. And through that, by mixing together, they reach one mind and one heart. Of course. But everyone, although he reaches the collective heart and mind, he comes to it with his own unique qualities. He does not lose his personality. You only receive the strength, perception, understanding in addition to you. In addition. So I acquire 9 more heads and 9 more hearts. But I acquire them. Now, there's a question here. What does it mean that I acquire? How are they integrated in me? They're integrated in me, meaning my qualities are the main qualities. This is the hardcore. And all the rest, they participate. They join along. They help in developing this hardcore. Otherwise, I won't develop. So if I want to increase my point in the heart so that something will come out of it, then I have to connect to myself, a group, the whole world, actually, the whole world. The whole world is called one soul. We learned it in an article called One Precept. No, in 600,000 souls. Yes?
Nadav from Rehovot's asking, when does the stage come where a person attains the wisdom in the actions that he goes through?
It depends which wisdom he refers to. If it is an external wisdom, even before the barrier, even before the Masam, he begins to understand a lot and to see things. But if he's talking about the wisdom where he drinks from the root, from the fountain, this is only above the machzom. Let's continue.
We are in Or Pemi, item Hey, item 5, relating to the words, there is no merit in it over Malchut. It means that in any case, there is merit in Yesod over Malchut, for her entire merit is only in Or Chozer. Yesod is superior to her in that he is first in the ten sefirot of Or Yeshar, which is known to be much better than the Or Chozer. However, this is only with respect to the light. From the perspective of the Kelim, their essence is made primarily of Or Chozer. As it is said, in the Kelim themselves they are equal. It is so because the level and the merit of the Kelim extend solely from Or Chozer. A person who comes to attainment starts from the smallest Aviyut because he resembles himself to the upper.
Yes.
And then it gradually increases. So the first thing I want to scrutinizes the kashiyut of the masach. That, does that also purify, or does it also become? Does the masach become tougher?
Yes.
According to the avyut.
Of course, they have to be measured.
out of six words of the Ari. When the light returns and clothes the hevel, meaning when it is close to the peh, the hevel of the peh is greater than the hevel of the ozen. That is because the hevel of the peh is now near the peh as rosh, while the hevel of the ozen is still regarded as the rest of the guf until it ascends opposite the ozen. Again, when the light returns and clothes the hevel, when it is close to the peh, the hevel of the peh is greater than the hevel of the ozen. That is because the hevel of the peh is now near the peh as bichinat rosh, while the hevel of the ozen is still regarded as bichinat the rest of the guf, until it ascends opposite the ozen. Chapter 14 explains the pnimiut and chitzoniut.
This is according to the same rules. When the reflected light closes, it is next to the peh. The hevel of the peh is bigger than the hevel of the ozen. That's clear because it's a greater aviut. One is four, the other one is three. The hevel of peh is now approximate to the peh from the rosh, and the hevel of the ozen is still from the rest of the guf. So it's already more internal. Okay? What?
Here again, he writes it again about this matter, that in terms of the kilim they are equal, but in terms of the lights they are not equal. So what is this principle?
You have sefirot, de or yashar, and de or chozer in a parzuf. The coarser the sefirah is, the greater the masach and the thicker kashiut it needs, it requires. The lighter the sefirah is in its aviut, then it needs a smaller masach, and its aviut is smaller. And also the kashiut, the thickness of the masach is smaller. Now, each and every one does his work in 100%, as much as he can. The lights which clothe inside the kelim, they clothe inside the kelim according to the masachim, according to the equivalence of form, right? So, if I am small, then I clothe in a small light clothes me, according to the Masachim. If I'm bigger, then a bigger light clothes me. In that, of course, no one is equal to the other. But if we're talking from the perspective of the Kelim themselves, where everyone performs its action in its incorporation in the Sefirot of Rosh in a complete way, then I'm asking you, what is the difference in the Kelim then? What's the difference between the kelim then, or in people who are included together? What's the difference? Why do you think that someone who is coarser, then he determines in the guf, in the body, than someone who is pure? If we're talking about a complete system. If it is a complete system, then everyone is important just like everyone else, because the perfection is damaged from the slightest damage. There is no more perfection. That's it. So the breakage happened because in the expansion of the light from the Golgalta Einayim to Achap, and it made contact with the Achap. It didn't have to get into the whole Achap and all. It just touches it and everything breaks. It just touches it. There is no more perfection. That is what the shattering means. This imperfection penetrates all the parts of the desire, and then the desire explodes into pieces. Because the attainment of the perfection is the goal. And if the goal is not there, then that's it. It's either there is or there isn't. Therefore, the
small one is just as important as the big one. I don't know how else to explain it.
So what does it mean that according to the lights they are unequal?
The lights are not equal, of course. Because that comes according to the character, according to the aviut, according to the coarseness. Everyone who is bigger than his friend, his inclination is bigger. Like their opinion are not equal, like their faces are not equal. But compared to that discernment, which is called perfection, everyone is equal to everyone else. In our case, we don't have anything like this in our world, but this is how it is in spirituality. If you had a flaw in a tiny finger, that's it. Let's say the body would die. This is because of a great status of the oppositeness of form. In our reality, we have many different clothings over a partsuf, over a face. Therefore, we don't feel those flaws, and we also don't feel the corrections. Let's say a person goes into outer space. Just make a hole in his spacesuit. Only a tiny hole, because there's a great difference between the internality and the externality. However, there is a great difference between us. Let's continue. Enough with that.
Item 1. Pnimiyut, internality, and chitzoniyut, externality of the world of Asiya, are nefashot and ofanim. There is internality and externality in all the worlds. In Asiya, the chitzoniyut is ofanim, and in the pnimiyut is nefashot. However, these nefashot are in general. Again, there is internality and externality in all the worlds. In Asiya, the externality is ofanim, and the internality is nefashot. However, these nefashot are in general. We'll read Or Pnimi, item 1, relating to the words internality and externality. The light is referred to as internality here, and the kli as externality. Regarding internality and externality, they should always be understood according to the relevant context.
Yes, because in many cases, we're talking about the internality and externality, let's say in the worlds, which worlds are internal and external, which parts of the desire are internal and external. Let's say, like we were talking about, also today, that the internality is the Galgalta and the Naim, and the externality is the Achap, and then they require different corrections. Here is talking about internality and externality, which is the light and the kli. These are two different things than the two parts of the kelim, Galgalta and the Achap, right? That's clear. What with you, Akoka?
Can we ask about Galgalta and Naim Achap?
What?
The light always streams from Galgalta and Naim and Achap in this constant way. That's how it streams.
I don't know what you mean that the light is flowing constantly.
Does Galgalta V'Einayim always influence on the Achap?
I don't understand that either. What does it mean just bestows upon the Achap?
What causes the light to influence or bestow upon the Achap?
We're talking about the kelim after the breakage, or like what we're talking about here. What are we talking about?
About the kelim after the breaking.
Okay, the kelim after the breaking, both of them are corrupted, or Galgalta and the Naim are corrected.
They're corrupted still.
So they can't bestow upon the Achap. They corrupted themselves. However, if the kelim with the point in the heart awaken, which belong to Galgalta and the Naim, but are not corrected yet as Galgalta and the Naim, but they belong to Galgalta and the Naim, they have to bestow, even in their uncorrected state, they have to bestow upon the Achap as well, because without the Achap, they won't be able to advance. But still, they need to take care of their own correction to the correction of the Galgalta and the Naim. And when Galgalta and the Naim will be more corrected, also the Achap will, through the dissemination from the Golgotha 99, they will receive the method of correction, and they will understand that there is a method of correction, that there is a Torah in Israel, as he writes. And then through that, there will be a mutual correction between Golgotha 99 and Achat. We have to learn this article, Handmaid That Will Inherit Her Mistress. Ah, we are going to study today. Okay. I didn't know. Very good.
I'm trying to understand about Golgotha Ve'Naim. Do they correct themselves? Can they correct themselves if they don't bestow to the Echab?
Golgotha and Enayim cannot correct themselves if they don't correct the Achab. That is correct. But this is because they themselves are included from the Achab, from the shattering. We're already in a state that although perhaps we might be Golgotha and Enayim, doesn't matter, the point in the heart. But we are included from the Achab as a result of the shattering. So when we correct ourselves, we also correct the Achab in us. That means to exit from the exile. Now you're in exile. So your Golgotha and Enayim are under the dominion of the Achab. You want to receive, you want to attain, you want to understand. You want. That's it. You want. Now, if gradually, through the importance that the group gives you to bestow upon the Creator, you will think of how to bestow upon Him. They will bring you such a strange thought for the time being, and you will want to bestow upon the Creator more and more, and that will be your goal. Then you won't be chained into your Achab anymore. Rather, you will be more connected to your Golgotha 99, because the desire of the Golgotha 99 is to bestow upon the Creator, and the desire of the Achab is to bestow upon itself. If you're working in bestow, then you want to work in the kelim of Golgotha and Enayim in order to satisfy the Achab, to fill up the Achab. This is adultery. If you want to work with Golgotha and Enayim and also in the Achab, in order to come and work with the Golgotha 99, meaning to bestow, but you're still under the dominion of the Achab, that is called lo lishma, not for her sake. If you have reached a state already where your Golgotha 99 and Achab, as much as they can join Golgotha 99, if they are working for the sake of Golgotha 99, that means that you're already in lishma, for her sake. So that's the difference. You don't come out from your kelim. You don't exit your kelim. This is what I'm trying to say. You're always in Golgotha, Enayim, and Achab. But it all depends on the relationship between them and what you prefer. And accordingly, we name your kind of work, either in order to receive, entirely in order to receive, or you're coming closer to lo lishma, not for a sake, or and from lo lishma you come to lishma, and there too you have two forms of work, to bestow in order to bestow, and to receive in order to bestow. So
the exit of the Golgotha Ve'Naim from the control of the Achab, how does that happen?
That means the exodus from Egypt. Those kelim of Kabbalah, vessel of reception, they begin to understand that they can't reach what they want. Rather, they have to subjugate themselves to the Golgotha 99. The world in our days, if they understand that if they won't go in the direction of bestow, then they are doomed, they are lost. Then they should subjugate himself and understand that there is a method that can save them. That means that Pharaoh let the people of Israel go out of Israel, of Egypt. He sets them free. Without it, you cannot do. Your ego surrenders. Yes.
So a chap needs to break again in order for Galgatava 9 to exit.
It doesn't break, it only subjugates itself, it only surrenders. It understands that it will receive such blows, famine, family crisis, education, such 10 plagues, 10 blows. Then I'm prepared to do anything. And then it is also prepared to receive the method of bestowal. Arvut, mutual guarantee. And it invites Akoka to be the world's president. L'chaim. Yes.
Galgata Ve'enayim. In order to reach correction, they are under the control of the Achap in the meantime.
Yes.
Now, how can they correct themselves until the Achap reaches subjugating? They cannot correct themselves.
They can. Therefore, the Achap itself, along with Galgalta 9, but through the blows, in order not to suffer from the blows, it is prepared to restrict itself and say, I want nothing, because if I want something, I immediately get a blow. And therefore, it enters a restriction. Pharaoh, he says, get out of here. I don't want anything from you, but you don't get any light if you disconnect for yourself from them. But this light brings me blows. I don't want you at all. Before, he used to profit from the people of Israel, and then he saw that it brings him death. So get out of here.
So Galgata Ve'enayim now speed up the process of the beatings on the Achap through their dissemination and their correction.
Yes, and therefore there is a danger of a Nazi regime and destruction towards Galgalta 9. Yes. We have to see the process that the world is going to go through. If you see the internality and the externality, then these are the situations we're going to go through. Okay?
Galgata Ve'enayim do not get corrected until they succeed to awaken the Achap.
This is why Baal HaSulam says that there has to be a dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah before, so that they will know throughout the world that there is a method of correction called the wisdom of Kabbalah, the method of correction of the human's ego that can be corrected. And we shouldn't continue the way we do. Okay, what can we do? There's a crisis. There is no correction for us. They should know that there is a correction. And then, eventually, they can subjugate themselves to such a correction. Otherwise, everyone yells whatever it feels like, and they all understand that no one has no plan and no bright idea of what to be done, and they're all corrupted, they're all having lowly life, they're all eat from one plate, but there's nothing they can do. We shall eat and we shall feast because tomorrow we die. And therefore they have to know that there is another way, there is a correction. There is a method through which we can correct the crisis. We can correct the situation, because this is not a crisis. This is a relation of the breakage inside our souls. It's not a crisis in the world. It is now revealed how opposite we are from the nature and the Creator. Excellent. That means the recognition of evil. So from here we should only cry a little bit and then you will be corrected.
Achap needs to reach awareness that the correction depends on Galgata Ve'enayim?
Yes, that means to acknowledge that there is a Torah, there is a method of correction inside the people of Israel. They have to know that. Therefore, first there is hatred and great rejection. These are two opposite things, and then it is revealed. But it all depends on the intensity of dissemination. That's the way it is. This friction, which is revealed in its oppositeness and mutuality, and how much they hate, and how much they cannot part from each other, and how much they are all interdependent, this is all called the Gog and Magog war, the war of Armageddon.
What is intensity of dissemination?
The intensity of dissemination means in greater quality and quantity. You should do whatever you is within your powers. And accordingly, man is being examined how loyal, how truthful he is.
Loyal in relation to what?
Towards the desire of the Creator to be revealed to his creatures, because through his revelation to the creatures, they receive a pleasure. And to fill up the creatures with pleasure. This is his goal.
How by that Achap all day long wants to fulfill itself because that they're under the control of Pharaoh, Golgotha Venayim will come and will give them this educational process and that they will accept that?
Achap, they receive blows. We're already in a stage where Pharaoh is receiving his blows. In the world, we have entered such a stage. The world is already receiving our blows. Now it should understand that instead of who is the Lord that I shall listen to him, like how humanity is disregarding nature and saying, we will take everything from the ground and from the earth. We don't care about anything. We don't care about water, the soil, the air. We don't have such an attitude anymore. We're already afraid from all that. Not necessarily from wars. Rather, from the future, that we will lose everything that we have. How many works they work to have money? How many years did they work to have control? How many years did they work for everything they have? Even in having an apartment or some food and pension security or something, you don't know how people used to live a few hundred years ago, even just 100 or 200 years ago. They used to live like animals. They were searching for food in trash, or what and where can they eat? They roamed the world like animals. People were more miserable than animals. Animals used to find something. People didn't, because people don't need grains like donkey. They need bread. And then, human beings are the weakest in nature, only in their intellect. They provide for themselves what they need, and then they rise even higher. Now they begin to receive blows, and these blows are already the 10 plagues. These are already the 10 plagues. But gradually, this Pharaoh, this collective ego, begins to understand where he is. Who operates on him, under which dominion he is. And on alone, it's not me who's going to reign above nature. Rather, nature is giving me the blows. Nature is beating me up. You can see that. People used to say, there is no crisis, there is no ecology crisis, everything is nonsense. And you know, from one year to another, people begin to lower their heads more, to subjugate themselves more. Because who are you, meaning the human being? What are we talking about? Now a volcano erupts and the whole world, it will cover the whole world with its dust, and that's it. And everyone will die for lack of air or sun and light and, just like that, and That's it. Because just of one volcano erupting, who are you? So gradually, humans' ego, well, there's a plan. They won't do such things, but we will be given gradual blows so that you will gain wisdom, because all in all, you need those tools, you need those thoughts in your mind and heart, you need all this data in order to focus them into one decision. I am under the dominion of nature. Nature is in control, and nature has a plan, and nature have the strength, and I am under that. All in all, I'm just a tiny part from this in this whole system. It's not easy for people to accept that. It's not easy. It's not simple. That egoistic approach of ours, materialistic approach, controls the world completely. And it doesn't matter if you believe in an upper force or you don't, and which kind of beliefs, doesn't matter. This is how we treat nature. We don't relate nature and God together. We don't make such a connection. We think that nature is nature, and whoever believes in an upper force, well, let him believe. That's another issue. They don't feel it as one system, but through the blows, we reach a state that, yeah, they will understand that everything is one system and we have to subjugate ourselves to it, meaning to accept its plan, to accept its approach and its goal. That means to lower our heads. And then things will be different. We don't need anything else. All the rest, okay, go ahead, you have a Torah, you have a method. Let's perform corrections. If you lower your head, you want to go according to what has been decided in nature, then you have the books, you have everything you need. Just go ahead and do it. Yes?
John from Chicago asks, what is stopping us from doing everything in our power to disseminate? What is stopping us, and how can we overcome this?
What's stopping us from disseminating as we should is because we want to. Because we want to work for Pharaoh. That this is what is stopping us. It's like the people of Israel in Egypt, they still want to work for Pharaoh. They tell Moses, let's stay in Egypt. Everything is fine. We can do everything from here. Why do we need the land of Israel for? We can still live in Brooklyn or somewhere else. Everything is fine. That's it. Yes. Okay. Oy, oy, oy. What, Niv?
According to the two stages of the correction of creation and the purpose of creation, it's not so understood what you just explained to Roye. There's the correction of creation, Gilgat Vainaim, Chafetz Chesed, and there is the purpose of creation to receive in order to bestow.
There is no Gilgat Vainaim, there is no Achav. They're mixed together. You understand that or don't you? Adam Rishon before the sin, and then he was perfectly fine. He was an angel. Everything is mixed together. There is not a single Galgalta and Enayim or Nechat who are not integrated. Therefore, there is hatred towards Israel because in the Achap, there is incorporation with the Galgalta and Enayim, so there is hatred towards those who crave spirituality. This is what Israel means. I'm not talking about the Israeli nation. And there's a problem in Galgalta and Enayim who are drawn to work for Pharaoh. They have an incorporation from the Achab. We are a result of the distraction from the shattering, from the sin of Adam HaRishon. And that's it. Yes?
So according to that, how does the correction of creation appear, where we say that the first stage is Chafetz Chesed, delighting in mercy?
The first stage is those who are being awakened from above. Without awakening from the above, there's nothing to talk about. The fact that there is an awakening from above, and we are awakened from above through the light that reforms, the first one, then the points in the heart awaken, the whole world, Bnei Baruch, which is awakened. And besides us, perhaps there are some more people whom we don't know about, but whoever is awakened in different stages. This is one thing. Another thing, if our correction, the more we want to connect between us, if we want to cause it that the Ahav too will understand that the connection is the correction. Isn't it so? Corresponding to the shattering, the connection is the correction. So we need to publicize all that throughout the world, and everyone should take it any way he wants to, either in a folk kind of way, that through the education we come out of the crisis, or in a spiritual way, that through the connection we are being rewarded with the light and the revelation of the Creator, everyone according to his desire, according to his passion.
And that is called bestowing in order to bestow?
Yeah, depends. Yeah. First you come to vessels of bestow, to bestow in order to bestow. The Ahab joins Galgalta and Enaim, but it is restricted. And the entire correction is being made first in the vessels of bestow in Galgalta and Enaim. Don't see anything new here. Yes, Mushi.
I understood that we have a problem in explaining that nature and God are the same thing.
That's true. Well, but we shouldn't explain that. If we should just explain that nature is in control.
What do we need? What does a person need to do after that, anyway? Well, what's his action? Let's say he understands that. What does he need to do from there?
From here, at least, they will understand that what nature is saying, meaning that we examine nature as scientists and we see laws here. These laws are... We have to keep those laws. If scientists come to a government and say, we have to keep that, see what's going to happen if we don't, then the government has to accept it as a necessary thing. This is an absolute law.
The problem is, Balasram writes about it, that there are these two laws, reception and bestowal.
No. I'm talking about ordinary laws of nature, with the pollution and everything they're saying.
Ah, so not laws of society. Laws of nature, I thought, were laws of society.
Also the laws of society, but I'm talking about the laws of nature. Laws of society is even worse. The laws of society means that you have to be honest. You mustn't produce medicines that poison people. You mustn't manufacture things that destroy nature. And you force people to buy needless things.
So you're speaking about simple things.
This is something simple. This is the foundation of all of our whole industry. This is everything. If you will come to realize the laws of nature, then you reach godliness already, reach bestowal. And now let's move on to the next part of the lesson.
And before that, we'll sing a song together. We rise and we enter a world that is already made. We illuminate, turn the night into day. We feel the future state, and it's great. Change. I was about to jump in. A new chapter begins. Whoa, a whole new thing. I walked in.
some water. Everyone was together, and I was there.